reporting on a way that someone has responded to a problem, you show that it's possible. And then you kind of point it back to the officials that you're reporting on and saying, well, why aren't we doing it this way? Or like, could we try it this way? So it's just been really, really fulfilling for us and for our community. Like people, they say that we report a lot of positive news and we kind of cringe at that because it's like, it's not positive and fluffy, but the phrase that I've heard best to describe solutions journalism is it's hope with teeth.
I like
and
that.
It's just really, it's been fulfilling for us as an organization. It gives us more of a mission.
Welcome to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Town News. Town News delivers solutions, services, and guidance empowering local media organizations to thrive in an ever-changing digital world. Contact Town News today to learn more how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at townnews.com. Hello and welcome back to the News Nirvana podcast. I am Nick Parker and I'm joined today by the Richland Source president and publisher Jay Allred and the engagement and solutions editor Brittany Schock. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I think I'm excited to have you guys and I will admit that I have lurked and looked at the Richland Source for a couple of years now. I run an online newspaper, so when I first started up, I was searching for others that are doing it and trying to find examples of what to do and what not to do. So I'm excited to have you guys on because I think as there are so many around the country trying to figure out the model, right, for a digital-only community newspaper, I think you are one of the ones that can be a role model that seems to have been figuring it out and finding the formulas that work. So I'm happy to have you guys on. And I really, Jay, I want to start a little bit with just kind of the origin story of Richland Source and what you were really trying to do as this paper started up.
Sure. Thanks again for having us on. We're always happy to try to help other news organizations or the industry. If there's anything that we can offer, we're always try to be as generous as we can with that. So, we're really glad to be here. So the origin story is pretty simple. In late 2012, our founder was part of a leadership, sort of a community leadership training group, like a leadership accelerator. And one of the things that they were doing was interviewing businesses and residents about what are the obstacles to economic and community development in our small Midwestern city of about 50,000 here in the southern end of the Rust Belt. We're in Mansfield, Ohio. And there were lots of different things that came back, right? Like lots of different answers that came back, but there were some themes, right? And one of those themes was that the story that the media that we have right now tells about our community is not inaccurate, but it's not the whole story. It's telling accurate stories about the fact that we had a very serious, at the time, meth and opioid crisis, and there it was a real thing, and we were telling those stories, and the public school system was struggling. But what wasn't the stories that weren't getting told, or that was the perception of the people that answered those questions, was the stories of people that were trying to make a difference to make it better. The stories of small successes that could eventually become bigger successes. So if you think about it from the point of view of were we kind of a cardboard cutout of what the community really was, or were we a three-dimensional whole person? And the feedback that our founder got back from the users that he interviewed was that we were, especially on the internet, kind of a cardboard cutout. It was difficult to get people to move here. It was difficult to incent businesses to locate here because when people research a community, what do? You go to Google, and Google becomes the lens through which you see the place that you don't know. So we started with this hypothesis of if we started a local media company that was focused on traditional local news, but we did it through a lens of attempting to tell the whole story of the community and reflect all of it. If we changed the news diet of the community from one of what old time newspaper people know really, really well, if it bleeds, it leads, and, you know, crime, you know, news, weather, sports, you know, corruption, courts and cops, right? Mm-hmm. If we entered different ingredients into that news diet, the hypothesis was that people would respond positively to that. But it's important to recognize that none of the people on the founding team, nor over the first couple of years, did we know that that was going to work. It was truly an experiment. Our founder had enough, he was capitalized enough that he was willing to make the investment to try the experiment to see what would happen. And fast forward to today, and Brittany's been a big part of that growth and development. But fast forward to today, we're serving close to 500,000 readers a month across 3 different counties. The organization has expanded 3 times, always on the core values of trying to tell the entire story of a community. And so what we found is that hypothesis, if it is approached with some core components in mind, can work.
I'm curious, and I think this is something I've heard from a few different publishers lately, is that there's a bigger emphasis on that role of as we tell the story of the community, though, that it does play a role in attraction and retention for business, for residents. And I feel like that's a focus that maybe we didn't put much emphasis on 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Well,
was that a tough shift?
For our team, it really wasn't a terribly difficult shift. I'd been around newspapers. I was asked to lead the launch team, and I'd been around newspapers my whole life because my dad was a newspaper publisher. So I had the advantage of having this example of this really important person in my life who allowed me to remember the times when a newspaper publisher or a newspaper had the ability to really convene important conversations in a community that needed to be had, and that there was an enormous power for good there. And so we saw an opportunity there. And we were smart enough and lucky enough to recruit people like Brittany and her colleagues who were willing to, they were either young enough and inexperienced enough to not know that this was a crazy idea, or they were willing to take a chance on a crazy idea because they saw something there that they wanted to be around.
Absolutely. Didn't know any better.
Well, I don't know if there's anything wrong with that strategy, though, right? I mean, because I think we've faced a lot of changes in the industry, and some of that is so hard to do because, well, we've been around, and our inherent biases because of the experience says, well, we know better, we shouldn't do that. But maybe if you get somebody who doesn't know any better, you can make this stuff work, right? Because there's, look, you're gonna have when you learn to ride a bike, you'll have perfect balance if you have no fear.
That is true.
Yep.
And I gotta say, I mean, to everyone's credit on this team, whether it's people who were coming fresh out of college and didn't know any better, or people who have been in the industry for longer than I've been alive, who decided that they wanted to do things a little differently, everyone has come in with that mindset of like, all right, we know that we're not going to be the traditional, you know, we're not going to do things how they've always been done. And everyone's come in with an open mind and an open heart and an entrepreneurial spirit and said, all right, let's try things differently. And so far it seemed to have worked.
Well, tell me a little bit more about those overarching goals. I know you mentioned, I mean, obviously this was one of them, to try to tell the whole picture and to play that role of being an attractant and retention tool for the community. But what are some of the, as you're rethinking the way you put the package together, what are some of those overarching pillars and goals that you have? What are you measuring against?
Brittany, I'll take the product side of it, and then I'm going to throw the journalism side of it toward you, if that's okay. Sound good? Okay. So we started out with a mindset that we would only ever be online. That was a business decision. At the time, you know, we could have gone hybrid, right? That was possible, but we made the decision that we would only ever be online. We made the decision that we would, as soon as we could, we would get a small office in the middle of the city so that we could be present and accounted for right where we, you know, we didn't have to. We were built on the cloud. So even 8 years ago, we could have been remote from day one, but we just made this conscious decision to have a presence. And I think the other thing that was really key for us is that we worked really hard early on to establish a set of values and norms and ways that we would explain the organization to people that we've stuck with for 8 years. And that have allowed us to create a brand that people recognize, remember, and now they know us well enough, they can hold us accountable if we go off brand. So we, you know, these were like really kind of core business decisions. The whole team was involved in them from the very beginning. And what it led to, interestingly, when we started to think about our journalism product, and what that, how that was going to show up in people's lives, it led to really trying to think differently about the way that we were going to show up in the life of the community differently, to the point of, you know, 2 or 3 years after we began that process, we literally created the position that Brittany now occupies. You know, I mean, it was weird to have a solutions and engagement editor. What exactly is that? Especially in a small town or a small city. I mean, that's not altogether abnormal in a major metro, but it was really different for here. And we really sort of found some key components. And Brittany, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about, you know, how those key components have shaped the journalism and shaped our relationship with our readers. Because ultimately, if you don't have a relationship with your readers that you can count on, all of the other stuff doesn't really matter.
And more so, I think more so than ever before.
Yes, for sure.
We've really, I think, particularly in the last couple of years, learned as like a society how important having local news is to like the ecosystem of a community. And society in general. So we're just, you know, small piece of that pie here in Richland County. But as Jay mentioned, I am the engagement and solutions editor. I've been in this role since January of 2019. And so I'll talk just about those two pillars, engagement and solutions. And the reason that this position was created was because we really wanted to lean into those values as an organization. And so having someone who kind of helms that and is thinking about that every single day keeps those values at the forefront of our journalism that we do. When it comes to engagement, that principle shows up. We talk about a lot of doing journalism with our community instead of to our community. In the beginning, we really, we said a lot that we were members of our community. We were of our community. We weren't aloof observers on the sidelines. We were invested. We cared about, you know, seeing Mansfield and Richland County succeed. I remember we said in the past, you know, we think it's okay to be biased for your community, to want to see this place that you live and work in succeed. So that shows up now when it comes to engagement in doing journalism with our community by really engaging with our audience when we're telling stories. The biggest partnership with that has come through Harkin, which is an audience engagement platform that we use and have used for some years now. It allows our readers to come to our website and go to our Harkin platform and ask us questions. We have a prompt that says, what do you want to know about Richland County? What's some weird questions that you want to ask about your community that maybe you've always wondered? And people ask us all the time, just like the weirdest stuff, like how did this high school get its mascot? Or what's that weird hole in the middle of the ground, you know, off of this road? So there's some real gems in there. And that's one example that we have of doing journalism with our community, because it says, you know, it's taking story ideas from our audience. We also ask them questions sometimes. So one story that we did throughout in the height of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020 was, you know, we're asking our readers, where have you seen everyday people show up and kind of be these, you know, heroes, so to speak, throughout this pandemic? And people then submitted story ideas to us where they're like, oh, you know, have you written about this healthcare team? Or I wrote a story about a little girl who had a tea party with her best friends over Zoom, and she was like 8 years old. And that was something that a reader submitted to us and was like, you know, I'm her grandma. I think it's so great. And it was a really great example of, you know, people coming to us and saying, please tell the story. Jade,
What was it like to build up that interaction? Right. So if you came on at this role in 19, so, you know, it had been going on, the paper had been around for 7 years at that point. How difficult was it for you to bring in your audience there and make them feel a part of it?
Sure. It takes some time and consistency, I think. And the luxury that we had too was the relationship that we had built and continue to build with our community, because it takes trust. It takes trust to, you know, for our audience to come to us with these questions. And so many times the questions that we get, they aren't even story ideas. They're just like asking for information. Like, are the schools closed tomorrow if it's snowing? And so to me, it means a lot that when someone has a question about their community, they're coming to us. But it's about that. This kind of relationship did not happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight for any organization that maybe decides tomorrow that they want to implement Harkin. It is going to take consistency, and you really have to have to show good faith with your audience that you are listening and you are responding to them. So when they ask you questions, you actually have to answer them, because otherwise people are going to think that they're just talking to this faceless, you know, computer. And that's not who we are. And that's never who we've been. We've always wanted to show that we are humans. Not just, you know, these faceless journalists up on the hill who are telling you the news that you need to know. We want to be, you know, down on the ground with you. So,
Was it hard to get, you know, full interaction? And I'm thinking, you know, when you're first starting, obviously the people that are going to first interact with you are the angry people, right? but there are, you know, a lot of readership starts out as they're reading from afar. They're anonymous. They're not participating. You haven't, you know, if you haven't built up the commenting section of your website yet, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so I'm curious how you kind of built out, so you started getting a broader spectrum in your interaction of the full community.
Sure. You know, that's really funny that you say that, because to me, the interaction of people who comment on your Facebook or maybe leave anonymous comments on your stories is different in our organization than the people who engage with us by asking questions.
Absolutely. I think you're right.
So, I mean, there's just this level of genuineness that shows up. Now don't get me wrong. There are some weird ones. There's some weird questions that come in there that we don't touch, but,
you can have a coffee table book of those later.
Yeah. but for the most part though, I mean, it's just a different level. It's a different level of engagement and interaction when you are being genuine and you're coming to your community from a genuine place and saying, you know, we really want to tell your stories and answer your questions versus the people who are just the keyboard warriors on your Facebook page. And I don't see a lot of crossover either. So, but yeah, I mean, I wish I had a better answer other than like being consistent and being trustworthy and telling good stories and listening.
Well, it's amazing how many times being consistent is the answer, right? I mean, to any of our new endeavors and the things we try.
It's frustrating because like if you're a new news organization or you're trying something new, then you hear that and you think, well, God, like how long is this going to take? But man, is it worth it? It's worth it to have, you know, to put in the time and effort because something that we've always pride ourselves on, you know, throughout the almost 10 years that we've been around, is showing up as a truly independent, unique online news source. And we've always been just really genuine. And like I said, trying to be human. So for example, we do things like invite people into our newsroom for a local music concert, and we give them beer and free food and throw this free concert where they're listening to, you know, a local band for no other reason than just to have fun and instill this sense of community. And we've been doing that for years. We did things like we organized a community baby shower where we brought local mothers in and connected them with local health resources and, you know, educated them on how to have healthy pregnancies and healthy babies. We threw an art exhibition where we commissioned a dozen local artists to create art that was inspired by our journalism and invited people into our newsroom to come experience our journalism in a brand new way through art.
That's a great idea. I have to know more about this now.
It just goes. And the thing is that I think Brittany hit on this, but the way that you engage with the audience can be different and it can change over time as you build trust, right? You know,
right.
So early on, this might have even been before Brittany was hired or right after she was hired. You know, we were in this downtown location. There was a Halloween parade. All these kids would show up and they would do like a downtown trick or treat. And so we went and bought like 400 hot dogs and brought in a grill. And then we just made hot dogs for the first 400 people that came to our place. And it was this idea of just, you sometimes have to do some crazy stuff, right? I mean, like you,
absolutely,
or you have to look at the opportunity to collaborate. And this is, I can't emphasize this enough, is that you don't have to do it on your own. We've held last two mayoral elections in our small city. We've put almost 1,000 people into a community theater to watch two mayoral candidates debate whether or not they should be mayor.
And well, now I feel bad. I was feeling good about my 150 people.
But we did that. The thing is, none of that happens without the collaboration of the local community theater, without the Chamber of Commerce, we collaborated with a Clear Channel radio service or with a Clear Channel radio station, and they simulcast the debate. So it was like having this, like having kind of an open mind and an open heart around, we're probably better off together than we are competing over a shrinking pie. I mean, don't get me wrong, we compete like crazy and we like to win, but there's times when that winning doesn't have to look like beating somebody else. Sometimes it looks like that. Sometimes it does look like that, but it doesn't always have to, and particularly when it comes to community engagement events. And I think that's where like the other piece of what that is the other foundation block of our journalism has become so important is the focus on solutions oriented reporting and the way that long term practice for 7 years now has become something that now our community, it's our brand. I mean, this is the thing that the community comes to us for, is, you know, looking for sort of guide dog instead of watchdog. And I'm going to throw to Brittany.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a lot of talk right now in the industry about solution-based journalism and trying to focus on that, not only for good journalism and readership, but there are ways, and we can get to this part later, there are ways to make that a revenue generator as well. But I just want to know, is that a natural growth from your engagement efforts to where, you know, you're seeking their input, you're working to meet the audience where they are, rather than like we used to, where we just, you know, sent it to their doorstep and that was it, right? Is that an organic growth of how all of these efforts do to where now you're getting to know their problems?
You know, I think solution journalism came first, in terms of like the practice of solution journalism. And then from there, you're right. They go hand in hand, engaging with your audience and finding solutions, and caring about the health of your community as a whole. It's all working together. Solutions journalism for us came about because we were practicing it before we knew what it was called. And this came about from, you know, what Jay was saying when we were founded and wanting to do news differently, other than just like the if it bleeds, it leads philosophy, where it was like, well, you know, what if we reported on a problem, but then we also reported on how to solve the problem? And that at its core is what solutions journalism is. It's rigorous reporting on responses to social issues. So some issues we've talked about in our solutions journalism reporting has been infant mortality. It's been food insecurity, internet deserts. Elder care. There's just been there's so many at this point. It's hard for me to keep track. But that really, it tied in exactly with our mission of wanting to, you know, report in a way that we were on Mansfield's side. We were on the side of Richland County. And then we found the Solutions Journalism Network, understood then what it was we were doing. We had a name for it now, and then have been practicing it ever since. And it really is, it's just a way of reporting where you look at any kind of issue that you're reporting on, and then you take a step back and say, okay, so who's doing it better? Is there someone else out there who has the same issue and maybe they've figured out a way to respond to it that we haven't yet? And spoiler alert, there almost always is. And then you do the reporting in a way that says, you know, yes, we have problems with flooding. This community here also has problems with flooding, and here's how they responded to it. Then it turns around into accountability journalism, because when you're reporting on a way that someone has responded to a problem, you show that it's possible. And then you kind of point it back to the officials that you're reporting on and saying, well, why aren't we doing it this way? Or like, could we try it this way? So it's just been really, really fulfilling for us, and for our community. Like, people, they say that we report a lot of positive news, and we kind of cringe at that, because it's like, it's not positive and fluffy, but the phrase that I've heard best to describe solutions journalism is it's hope with teeth.
I like that.
It's just really, it's been fulfilling for us as an organization. It gives us more of a mission. And then just on a personal note, it just makes you feel better about the world to know that there, even like the big, big problems like climate change, for example, there are solutions out there. There are people who are working on it, and it, you know, it just makes you feel better about life. And
well, and there are a million outlets for all of the things that are wrong with blank everything. Society, right? Whether, you know, from world, national, state, right on down to our, there are a million ways and places to do that. And I think, you know, our job, not only to what you're saying is our job's not only to inform, but to inform with pathways out.
Yes. And, you know, it really is a rigorous reporting standard to do solutions journalism. It's not fluffy PR stuff. We're not doing unicorns and rainbows, because it's still really rigorous reporting that had, you know, there's, we look at the evidence, we look at, you know, there's a lot of standards that we hold ourselves to for solutions journalism. So anyone can do it. It's not, you know, just for an organization that wants to do things differently. It's very, very applicable to any organization that's out there.
And I'm going to guess that you found, though, too, that when you do that, when you do that kind of rigorous reporting and you get those stories out there, that when you do find the unicorn or rainbow story, they're a lot better, right? When you really get the good unicorn story.
Yes. When you find the story that is the 8-year-old having a tea party in the middle of a pandemic, then it's really, really great. So, our community has responded so much to this type of reporting, and they really look to us. That's what they expect from us now. And it's almost like we've kind of become thought leaders in that sense. And you know, as you alluded to, we have figured out that our community also wants to support this kind of work with their dollars.
The News Nirvana podcast is brought to you by Town News, the creators of Audience Plus. Audience Plus replaces your old school one-size-fits-all paywall with a smarter metering solution that targets visitors with custom offers, converting drive-bys into paying subscribers. You can learn more at townnews.com/audience. Well, and I think there's something to be said for driving the conversation in your community. I mean, you can do that as a reporter. You because of the reporter's roles, right, in the community, all the things they get to attend, be a part of, follow, they can help the residents, the voters, get past the BS and into the real conversations, right? So I think there's something to be said for you can still have that level of integrity as a journalist, but still drive the conversation for the community as the things they actually need to be discussing and get to those solutions.
A perfect example of that is our election coverage that we've been practicing the last couple of years. We've been hosting what we call Talk the Vote, which are these listening tours where we go into the voting boards of Mansfield and host events and ask people, what do you want your elected officials to be talking about as they campaign for your vote? And it makes it so much more issue-centered because you're talking to people who care about issues as opposed to only interviewing candidates who want to give their stump speeches. Then we've taken those issues that we hear from the citizens and created, we did this in 2019 and we just did it again, a citizen's agenda, which we distill all of that conversation into some main issues that we hear over and over again. So we've heard people say, we care about the issue of homelessness in downtown Mansfield. We've heard people say, trash collection is like the wild, wild west in Mansfield. What do? We've heard people say, we want reformed public transit. We put all of this in the citizens' agenda. Then we present it to the newly elected officials and say, all right, here's what your citizens want from you. Now we're going to watch and see what you do with it. And then we take these topics and we do solutions-oriented reporting on all of these topics because of all the things I just said about it's a really great way to hold people accountable because you can say, number one, your citizens are asking for it. And number two, we know it's possible because here are the communities who are already doing it.
That's a great piece. I think the key thing there was that you follow up on all of those issues to hold whatever elected or whoever elected, right, mm-hmm. responsible and accountable. I think that's the key moment. I think the key piece to all of that makes it work.
Absolutely.
Well, now Jay, I'm going to come back to you a little bit on this. Okay. And I think I'm going to ask for the metaphorical receipts. How is all of this working? I mean, because look, we want to not just find the model and get it to where it's a sustainable business, but look, we all want it to be profitable. We want this to work. So how is all of this great dreaming that you've done and you've been doing it? This will be the 10th anniversary, right? Mm-hmm. So how's it working?
So I would love to tell you that we are all like bathing in dollars. We're not. I mean,
you just ruined the punchline.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's just be realistic. I think realism is really important here. We're a small Midwestern market. We're doing fine. We're doing okay. Here's what though, where it really, I think where it matters though, right? If you're listening to this and you're a revenue oriented person, or you're listening to this and you're a news leader, if you can get a little bit of distance from your current position, you realize that newsrooms, and we've talked a lot about the news organization, and we'll stay focused on that right now. Newsrooms have been viewed as cost centers for newspapers for decades and decades and decades and decades, maybe even centuries, right? The advertising, the classifieds, the obituaries, they all paid for the newsroom. The math doesn't come out anymore. The arithmetic doesn't work anymore. So I think that the one thing is that there is no one golden path to being successful in local news, whether you're a chain or whether you're an independent. I think there's lots of different variables that matter. But here, the way that it's shown up here is we really started to focus on, to give you an example, we really started to focus on individual membership and corporate support in 2019. That was when we really like leaned in, 2019. Since 2019, we've grown that into a line item on our newsroom's top line that is over $250,000. So that feels like a victory for local news to me. It feels like, because all of those dollars are directly related to the way that the newsroom shows up in the community and goes to work. Members don't buy memberships so that they can look at ads. Corporate supporters that don't get any advertising transactional value in return do not write five-figure checks because if they don't see value there. And that happens on the regular. Brittany and Larry Phillips and Carl Hunnell and the team in the newsroom have built something that people relate to and that they resonate with. And I think if you're looking for encouragement and you're listening to this and going, well, they've been doing it for 7 years, you know, how do I copy and paste this and just go immediately to where the source is? I think that organizations like ourselves and others, like other innovators, like VT Digger in Vermont or Berkeleyside in Berkeley, California, or there is an incredible collaborative in Southern Ohio that is they cover Appalachia. This innovation's happening all over the country. It's largely centered around Lion Publishers, which is an industry group that supports independent local journalism. But there has been so much work done over the last 4 or 5 years to help organizations not make the stupid decisions that we made when no one was there to tell us not to make those stupid decisions. I mean, for Brittany and I to be able to get on this podcast and say, okay, look, you know, audience engagement, you gotta engage with your community. You should be doing solutions journalism. You should be involved in your community. That was those pillars. I mean, there's a lot of stuff littered on the side of that road that were ideas that we tried that did not work. And
I think it's important to say there though too, that part of figuring out these models, and especially we can do this because it is digital.
Yeah.
Is to not be afraid to throw a few darts.
Right.
I mean, you can put things out there, and if it doesn't work, you can shift gears.
So if you're a leader in a news organization, one of the things that I think is really important, and I get the privilege to speak on this occasionally about leadership in news organizations and what that means. One of the things that you are the only person that gets to do this is that you have to set the culture. You have to define what the culture of the organization is. And I was really fortunate enough to work with leaders like Larry Phillips and Brittany Schock and Angie Cerrone and Zach Heiser and David Yoder and all kinds of people all over our company early on to try to set a culture where it was okay to fail. One of our corporate values is try, learn, and repeat. We have rock concerts in our newsroom because one of our corporate values is to have fun. And the idea here is that you have to understand that you're responsible as a leader to set that culture. But if you want to innovate your way to success, you have to create an environment where people that are not trained to be entrepreneurs can tap into their entrepreneurial instinct and know that you are there to catch them if they fail. If it is not a career, this is not a career existential crisis if you make a mistake. And we have to recognize that people who go through J school are not trained often in entrepreneurialism. This is not part of it, right? These are natural risk takers. They're one of the only jobs that run toward bullets.
Right.
It's a very small group of jobs of people that run toward a fire. So it's not that they're uncomfortable with risk. It's that you have to create an environment where they know that that risk is mitigated and that it's valued and that it's okay to try. And like you said, you can throw some darts, but the key is that you have to learn from those darts and you have to be willing to take it out. If you have a bad idea, you got to be willing to take it out behind the barn and do the thing.
Right. Well, and I think it's important to make friends, find a role model, find a mentor, because you're absolutely right. Yeah. Most of us that went through J school were trained to be reporters and storytellers. We were not trained to be entrepreneurs. We were not trained to be even on the business side. I mean, like I came up on the editorial side. I was fortunate enough in my career to get to do a little bit of both as I progressed. But if I hadn't taken a few years outside of the industry to go work with a bunch of entrepreneurs, there's no way I would have gone off the cliff to start my own thing. Right. I found some role models. I found some mentors. And I think it's important that we, maybe not even to say that those journalists have to go find the mentors. I think that the business side, the entrepreneurs should seek out people to be mentees.
Well, the other part of that too is if you come up through journalism school, you learn that the business side of whatever newsroom you're in is not your problem. There's there's a giant wall in between both of you that, and you don't talk to each other and you don't, you know, there's no cross like pollination there at all. And we have learned that that's just not like, everyone should care about the business side because everyone wants to keep their jobs. So the reporters should care about, you know, creative ways to engage with their readers because reader engagement will lead to reader support. They should care about doing solutions journalism because that's a pillar that we have built that people, you know, with really big checks like to give us. So, and that's part of the entrepreneurial stuff is, you know, doing like our reporters who decided, hey, what if I challenge the community that if we get this many members in the month of December, I'm going to eat raccoon. And guess what happened? That's exactly what he did.
And you know, I'm going to write that down actually, because I think I'd do that. I would. Well, that leads me actually to the question, because you've talked about Jay, you talked about culture, Brittany, you just talked about this, that, you know, the almost becoming invisible now, the wall. And I mentioned mentors for myself. I was lucky that when I was just a sports editor, I had a publisher who brought me in, who did a lot of things that made me feel like, okay, I can take ownership in the whole product because of the things he did. Now, not everybody felt the same way, but so I guess, what are you guys doing, I guess, in the culture that you're trying to build? And obviously it's not going to be the same everywhere, but for you, what has been successful in kind of blending that wall and letting everybody take ownership in the product?
So you kind of have to start with when we started to raise money from corporate support back in 2019, we started out by raising it for a project. We had two projects we wanted to do. The newsroom wanted to do these two big, ambitious, they were easily the most ambitious projects we'd ever done. They were going to go over a whole year and they wanted to do it. And I said, well, we got to raise some money to do it. Because they're going to be expensive. You all want to fly places. You want to get on airplanes. you want to go, like, you want to do like real reporter stuff. So we got to raise money. And where we started, and we've written about this a little bit, and I can send you a list of links for your show notes if you want.
Yeah, it'd be great.
But the place where we started was we had an all hands meeting in the newsroom. I came into the meeting and the first question I asked is, okay, we all know what we want to do. We all know that we're going to need raise money. I think I have a plan. This is a general outline of the plan. What would make you feel gross and dirty and sick to your stomach? That was the first question. And we went through all of the things. Like, this is all the stuff, Jay, that you can't do. These are all the things that are going to make us feel just compromised. And we figured out what those lanes were really early on. And then, you know, we came back together like a week later or whatever. And I said, okay, this is what I'm imagining based on your feedback. Here's what the lanes look like. Everybody good? We got like unanimous approval. This looks great. So then we went out and raised the money. And for us, it was a totally eye-opening way of saying, this is how business and news interact. It's just like any other relationship. If you have respect and humility and honesty and trust, then you have a relationship. And that relationship gets more durable the more that you interact with each other based on these, you know, really core human principles of don't lie to me, don't compromise me, don't sell me down the river. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. These basic kind of like how you make a good marriage or how you make a good friend or whatever that looks like. That's really, I want to say it was this massive, huge plan. It really wasn't. It was just really just kind of coming in and saying, we have a unique problem. We want to solve it in a unique way. And let's put some rules around this so that, because in this case, the money raising was my job, right? This was my responsibility, go out and raise the money. So now I knew who to talk to, because we knew that we weren't going to talk to highly transactional personalities. If supporting a project about infant mortality or elder care required that you got, you know, like that required an exchange of value, we needed to sell advertising to that person or sponsored content or something else, right? We went out, but those rules allowed me to make good choices around partners that believed in the mission of the journalism. And it let the newsroom feel valued and respected and honored in their work. And we have been able to take those foundations and just build from that and never look back. Do we check in with each other? Absolutely. Have we had to bring each other back from the edge? Sometimes we have. But that's the relationship that has been built between those.
Well, I think that's the key though, is you have built a relationship where you can have that conversation to say, hey, you're standing on the edge here. Let's not go past this point. All right. Okay, Brittany, I'm gonna look at you. Do you feel like you can tell Jay? Pretend he's not here watching over your shoulder.
I'll go on mute.
Can you tell him when he's pushing the edge?
I mean, Jay, have we had those conversations? I think Jay knows. Jay and I have worked together for a long time. I think he knows that I have no problem just like calling him on his shit. So
it's we really try to build that in, is that, you know, the corporate culture is one where, you know, we try to create some psychological safety so people can give and receive feedback in a way that, you know, they realize it's not about you. I'm not mad about you. I don't think you suck as a person. I just think your idea sucks or it needs work, you know? And I think that that is one of the basis for trying to build something that people want to be around. Because it's funny, because we have hiring on the brain right now because we're trying to hire a reporter.
So if you're listening,
journalismjobs.com.
You are not the first one to do this, by the way.
So like, we're trying to hire, but the thing is that you have to realize we're very proud of the talent that we've been able to attract, right? But we also realize that we are not probably someone's last job. If they are, they're going to have to kill it, right? Like they're going to have to do what Brittany's done or what others in our organization have done is rise to the challenge and take on additional responsibility. But you got to build a culture where they can learn. Like if we're not going to be their last job, then we better get them ready for the next one, you know? And it just comes down to that idea of working together. Don't get too, you know, have enough hierarchy where people feel empowered to make decisions. Don't have so much of it that you can't get anything done. And, you know, frequently be together. If for a while we had to be together virtually, right? But do the best that you can frequently to be together and work together and work across departments so that you get to know each other. You know, we're not the New York Times. We don't have 1,000 people in this newsroom. So like, I mean, you got to like the people you're working with. You're basically a squad.
Well, and I think though, that's kind of the way your community newsroom, your building is a microcosm of the community you're covering. Everybody knows each other. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we talked about covering local politics and elections. I mean, the thing about covering local elections in a community is, look, everybody really, they know who they are. you know all of the candidates probably outside of their campaigns.
That's a really good point, though. And I think I hadn't really thought of it this way, but I think you're right that the values that we practice with each other in the newsroom are also the values that we extend to our relationship with our community, you know, more beyond just each other. And I think that's what makes it work. That's what makes it gravy.
It feels squishy, but it's really like when you really get it out into the wild and you work it. Circling back to the thing that you'd asked about was the, you know, how does this translate into dollars or how does it translate into success? I have one other story. Most recently, last year we were approved for a Report for America candidate. And this candidate, Emma Davis, was going to come to us from Long Island, New York, and she was going to go directly into Mount Vernon, Ohio, which is the county seat of Knox County. It has 25,000 people in it. The whole county has 100,000 people. No, 50,000 people in it. So we were talking about rural Ohio, right? And we had the first 2 years of Emma's position fully funded before the plane ever hit the tarmac in Columbus. That is success, right? I mean, when you can go to your community partners and say, we want you to do a thing you've never done before to, you know, trust us that this reporter is going to be getting, she's going to get the best training and she's going to grow up in our culture and she's going to be part of your community. And literally, we want you to fully fund her for 2 years. And when they, you know, that is an expression on the part of the community that we work very hard to never lose sight of, you know, to always be very humble about. I mean, we're fortunate. We've worked really hard to be in this position, but people can always say no, and sometimes they do. And you have to you've got to remember that if you want to build a journalism organization, there is no one right way to do it. And I'm shameless plug, Lion Publishers is a place, and I know Town News has developed great relationships with Lion. Lion Publishers is the epicenter for what is happening right now in innovation around local news. And there are now over 400 members of that organization that are solving this problem in different ways for different communities, and doing it in ways that are at least as innovative and as we are, sometimes way more. And the quality of the journalism is second to none. And I think it's this place where it was very brave and kind of bold and crazy for us to do this in 2013. It's not nearly as bold and crazy as it used to be. it's doable. They're, like, you can do it. You can start a local news organization and serve your community, or you can innovate in a legacy news organization. You just have to be willing to address cultural things that have been there for a long time. And you got to be able to look it in the face and say, okay, we're going to try. We're going to be different.
Well, I think this is a good place to start wrapping things up. First, thank you for mentioning my magnanimous benefactor, Town News. They make me babbling with friends across the industry possible. So I appreciate them and you bringing them up. But I think you can call it a success. I appreciate you coming on and showing kind of a model that's working. And I know that you will say it's a model you're still working on. You're still throwing darts. You're still making adjustments, but that's part of the entrepreneurial journey, right?
Every day. So
one last thing, if people want to connect with Richland Source, they want to follow Richland Source, how can they do that?
Brittany?
www.richlandsource.com is a great place to start. You can also find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. But it's Richland, like Richland, RichlandSource. Just look for the news organization that's purple. You'll find us.
And Brittany's on Twitter at her name, which is so cool that she just has her name. Brittany, SCHOCK. And you can find me on Twitter at JAllred651.
Look, there are a few things I love Twitter for. News Twitter is one of them. I think it's a great place to follow people in the industry to find news. So I encourage everybody to get on there. Also, if you're a fan of craft beer Twitter is also a great place. Just throwing it out there. Little helpful thing. Jay, Brittany, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. That's going to wrap us up for this episode. We'll talk to everybody next time. The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Town News. Connect with Town News at townnews.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcast. Think, speak, act,